Hello, and welcome to the Mind Fitness Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Ursh, and my role as your mentor is to help fuel, feed, and grow your brain to enable you to live your best life. That's right, I want to help you create your life by design. As the owner of New Zealand's longest running women's gym and health and wellness coach for over 22 years, I've had the privilege of helping thousands of women transform their bodies. And what I've learnt is the key to all success starts with transforming your thinking. My mission for this podcast is to enlighten and brighten your day. Far out! Can you believe this? Over 1,000 freaking downloads. Like, fully, that is outstanding. That's phenomenal. Like, that's just exceeded all expectations. So I'm giving you permission right now to stop, push pause, and then just high five me. You can even do a happy dance. I tell you what, I'm certainly having a happy dance and I'm dancing. Have you ever heard the quote, "Where attention goes, energy flows"? Well, my attention has been on how can I create a bigger impact, inspire more people, and empower more people globally. And that was when I decided I needed to have a podcast. And you better believe that fear showed up. Like, fear was fierce. And I thought, what do I know? Why would people listen? I don't even know how to do a podcast. What happens if no one likes it? What happens if people think I'm crap? Blah, 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 blah. So I did it anyway. And after 10 episodes, we have 1,000 downloads. Like, I just cannot believe that. I cannot believe how many people have reached out to me, that have sent me private messages, they've shared their struggles and their journeys with me. So today I really want to dedicate this episode to every single person that has taken the time to download one of my episodes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I wanted to share with you one of the messages that I received from my Australian followers this week. Hey there, legends. I hope you're both doing well. Ursh, I didn't know of your illness or your podcast until it came onto my page 2 days ago. Firstly, sorry to hear it hasn't been a great year for either of you with the diagnosis. Fighting illness, I believe, is a team effort, and you two, along with your support network, will kick along well, I think. Secondly, I listened to your first two podcasts yesterday and I'll listen to more today. I really enjoyed them. You speak so well, and for someone with a Kiwi twang, and please don't hit me, it's very easy to understand. I'm looking forward to listening to more and promoting across my socials. Finally, thank you for sharing your fight. We all have our little battles, but hearing someone else fighting a bigger battle so positively is an inspiration and a motivation to do more, to do better, and to keep smiling. You two ladies are incredible people. Best wishes moving forward. Matt, I just wanted to say that made my day. Thank you so much for taking the time to write such a wonderful, beautifully heartfelt message. I truly, truly, truly appreciated it. So I'm giving you permission to officially stop dancing now. So today's episode, I'm going to share with you 3 strategies on how to have an epic Christmas. So I'm curious, have you ever had a Christmas get-together that ends up going a little pear-shaped? There's number one, that person that just drinks too much and they end up looking fugly. The mother or father-in-law that just doesn't think you're good enough. Or perhaps it's the kid that's always having the tantrum. Or maybe it's that one family member that triggers the heck out of you. If you have, then welcome to Christmas Normalville. Because over 51% of people report having Christmas stress and family drama, which makes Christmas get-togethers somewhat challenging, which means we feel anxious, overwhelmed, and worried. So if you want to have a different experience this year, then stay tuned. So what are the 3 main categories that cause us so much stress over this Christmas season? So number one, family tension. Families fight at Christmas because of a condition which affects them when they are forced to live in close quarters, having spent all of the year apart. Hypercopresence occurs when families are in each other's pockets 24 hours a day, even though they've not seen each other in months.
Over Christmas, they have to share the same house, they share the same bathroom, and they have to put up with young children stampeding all around the place. Family members become cranky because their autonomy has been taken away from them by tight schedules of walks, meals, and games. Hyperco-presence happens when you get what is called a large dose of family at once. Professor Melanie Booth Butterfield likened the phenomenon to a long-distance relationship. Only instead of your lover coming home, you have to spend Christmas with your family. She said, when you're in a relationship, you expect to be together some of the time. You don't tend to expect to be together 24/7. Hyperco-presence happens when things are very controlled and scheduled. You are together in the car, the hotel room, always with other people. It's the idea that you are too close and you can't get away from people. Instead of having autonomy to be able to get away when you want to, you have to coordinate with other people. Professor Booth Butterfield said that pressures at Christmas time come from what she called the ABCs, alcohol, bathrooms, and children. The more people there are likely to pee, and the smaller the house, the more pressure there is likely to be. So number two, we spend way too much money. Between gifts, travel, parties, food, donations, and decorations. It's crazy. Did you know that Americans are spending more than ever to keep up with their holiday traditions? On gifts alone, they are spending approximately $920 per person, up from $885 per person last year, with total holiday spending exceeding $1 trillion nationwide. This is especially true for parents of young children, whether it's getting them from their dream gift or spending on travel or experiences. Every parent wants the holidays to be memorable and joyful for their children, and the pressure is on to spend generously to make it happen. According to Holidays Wallet Woes report, 18% of parents say their spending has no limits when it comes to their kids, and 13% say they'd max out their credit cards to give their kids the best holiday ever. I'm curious, are you one of those parents? And if you are, I want you just to take a moment right now and ask yourself, what am I teaching my kids right now about Christmas? And let's move on to step number three. And number three, time poor. You see, we are generally people pleasers and we put other people's needs way before our own. And so that means we move into Christmas with a cup half empty. And let's face it, if we show up to Christmas with our glass half empty, we are less tolerant and more reactive and less proactive because we've spent the lead time up to Xmas doing all the last minute jobs. And we tend to overcommit, which then makes every day a challenge and means you get more and more tired. You become more impatient. You become more frustrated and you feel like you're letting others down. Most of all, you feel like you're letting yourself down. So now more than ever, you need to break the cycle. I have to share this quote with you because it made me laugh. This year, we're having a stress-free Christmas dinner. I'm crushing up Prozac and all the food. So what exactly is Christmas? Well, it's a holiday to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who, according to the Christian religion, is the Son of God. The name is a joining of Christ and Mass, which means the Holy Mass, supper, celebration or festival of Christ. The legend of Santa Claus can be tracked back hundreds of years to a monk called Saint Nicholas. It is believed that Nicholas was born sometime around 280 AD in modern-day Turkey, and he was known for helping the needy. After his death, the legend of his gift-giving grew. Saint Nicholas transformed into the legendary character called Santa Claus, who brings Christmas presents to children around the world. And this tradition has turned into an obsession of keeping up with the Joneses, where we feel like we have to have better than those around us. It's human nature to be competitive. We want the fastest car, the most attractive partner, and the biggest house. At Christmas time, there's more of that kind of competition than at any other time of the whole year. And therefore, we're teaching our children that Christmas is about getting, not giving. So let's move on to how the three strategies can help you have an epic Christmas. So strategy number one, less judgment, more love. Strategy number two, time, not money. And strategy number three, learn to say no. So let us start with number one, less judgment, more love. So why does that matter? Now I know this may come as a shock to you, but we all think that we are right. We all experience the world differently. We all walk through life with our own lens. You see, we all have different beliefs. We all have different values and we all have different experiences. And this is what molds our perception of our reality. And we project that onto others. Have you ever been in a situation where two people witness the same event and have a completely different emotional experience? Maybe it's been in a Christmas function and someone's drinking, and we've got two different people witnessing the situation. One person thinks it's funny, and the other person thinks it's sad. And perhaps a third person gets really angry about it. This is an example of how everybody sees things from a different perspective. Remember I just told you about your beliefs, your values, and your experiences? Well, guess what? We judge people based on those. It's not actually the person's behavior that is the problem. It's the way that you are interpreting the behavior. It's actually what you make it mean. And for some people, that's a hard pill to swallow. I want to share with you a wonderful quote, which I think sums this up nicely. Walk a mile in my shoes, see what I see, hear what I hear, feel what I feel. Then maybe you'll understand why I do what I do. Till then, don't judge me. And what this means to me is, instead of looking at a situation through my eyes, I look at the situation through their eyes. And then I think about what must be going on for them. And then I tend to come from a place of more love and compassion and then leave judgment at the door. Did you know that judging others is harmful to your health? Maybe that's why your mother always told you to never judge someone until you've walked in their shoes. We are social creatures and our natural instinct is to judge those around us. We judge people on their driving skills or lack of it. We judge them on their parenting, their clothes, their decor, their political view, their choices of words, and the list is endless. But now the jury is out. Judging others is harmful to your health. The question is why? The more you judge others, the more you judge yourself. And by constantly seeing the bad in others, we train our minds to find the bad. This can lead to increase in stress. Stress can weaken the immune system and cause high blood pressure, fatigue, depression, anxiety, and even strokes. In fact, 43% of American adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. Stress can lead to health problems, like it's easy to see the faults, but it takes effort to see the good in others and in ourselves. The more we learn to be accepting of our faults of others, the more we learn to love ourselves. Judgment also makes people shy away. When people know you're judgmental, they automatically take a step back. They become wary of you and think twice before sharing anything meaningful. If you want to have relationships that aren't superficial, you need to learn to accept people as they are. Distancing people will lead you to missing out on making a connection with friends and family. Social isolation can increase the risk of death from 50 to 90%. If you are lonely, you also increase your risk of developing high blood pressure or inflammation. To top it all, loneliness makes people more aggressive. I'm sure you can relate to this. People instinctively like to be around positive people. Positive people put out positive energy and they have fun to be around. The more negative a person is, the more likely he or she is to drive their friends away. No one likes listening to someone that's a negative Nancy. And if your name's Nancy, I'm sorry. Energy is contagious. So I'm curious, what energy are you putting into the universe today? What energy are you taking to your family function, your Christmas holidays? You see, now more than ever, we need to own our energy. We need to own our health. And we need to love the people around us. It's been a really challenging year, and most people are now driven by fear. Fear of COVID, fear of vaccine, and this is causing separation and segregation of families. And when we live in fear, or we come from a place of fear, we tend to judge more and love less. Judging a person does not define who they are. It defines who you are. So how do we judge less and love more? Number one, remember, when you feel triggered or you feel overwhelmed in a situation with other people, the way that you're interpreting that situation is what's causing your reaction. So instead of reacting in the moment, take a breath. Give yourself time to process. And perhaps it means you have to leave the room. Pop your big girl or your big boy undies on. You know better. You can choose your reaction because now you have awareness around it. Then I'd love for you to ask yourself, what are three things that I'm grateful for about this person? Or maybe you want to ask yourself, what are three things I love about this person? You see, mindset is everything. You see, you can't control other people. You can only control yourself. So let's move on to step number two, time, not money. And why is that important? It's important because we are spending way too much time doing other things that are not important, and therefore we use our money to buy love. So if you're a mum or a dad and you're listening to this right now, I've got a question for you. What would be the best gift you would love to receive from your children? Would it be a new top, a new pair of shoes, a new appliance for the kitchen, a new tool for the shed, maybe a golf club, maybe a car, maybe an iPhone? I don't think so. I think the best gift that any child could give you is time. It's just being together. It's creating beautiful, wonderful, magical memories. You can't put a price on that. It's priceless. So here are some of the top spending statistics for 2021. Parents plan to spend an average of around $500 per child when it comes to Christmas gifts in 2021. 10% of Europeans go into debt due to Christmas shopping. 1 in 10 people return their gifts to the store. Did you hear that? 1 in 10. 41% of Americans are willing to take on debt due to gift shopping. 15.2 billion is the estimated total of unwanted presents. America is expected to spend almost 6.1 billion on Christmas trees. Women spend 20 hours on average shopping for Christmas presents. Like, that's 20 hours. We spend so much time trying to find the perfect gift, when in fact, 9 times out of 10, the most perfect gift is time. You see, time is something we can never get back. A beautiful quote that I'd love to share with you is, "The greatest gift you can give someone is your time." Because when you dedicate your time, you are offering a part of your life that you will never get back. And that speaks volumes. I want to share a story with you about my sister-in-law who passed away about 3.5 years ago with breast cancer. So one afternoon I was sitting here in my lounge and I received a text message with a photo of her, my brother and my 3 nephews at an airport in Brisbane. And the text message read, "Auntie, don't be mad. We're going to Bali and we're going to create crazy cool memories. Love you." You see, she was going through chemo at the time and she had a 9-day break in between her sessions. The opportunity came for them to have a family holiday and she took it. So they went to Bali They created crazy cool memories. They took lots of photos. And unfortunately, a year later, she passed away. The boys will never ever forget that holiday. That will exceed any gift that they will ever receive. Life is short, and we will never be able to replace time. So how do I spend less and give more? Step one, think about what that person likes to do. Not what they like to have, what they like to do. So I'll give you an example. Now my mum loves fishing. My brother also happens to love fishing. And when he takes her out fishing and it's just them together, that gift of time is more valuable than any item he could purchase for her. So number two, plan the event or outing based on what they like. Number three, schedule it in your diary. So you could design a voucher for their Christmas gift, and on that voucher you could say, "Hey Mum, I've organized a fishing date for us for Christmas. Love you." So another example is you buy your niece or nephew or a child a board game. And in the card that you give the child, you write in the date that you're going to have a date day where you get to play the board game with them. Because it's not about the game, it's about the time that you spend with them playing the game. One of our favorite things to do is to design a time together voucher book. And it's a simple way that you can just write down a gift voucher. Maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe you do one a month. And it's simple things like, we're going to bake a cake together. We're going to walk on the beach together. We're going to have a movie together. We're going to play in the park together. We're going to build a sandcastle together. Like anything that creates connection and communication will create a memory that they will never forget. How much value is that? Priceless. Okay, our third and final step is say no, step number three. And why that matters is because we tend to put other people's needs before our own. So I'm going to keep this really short and sharp. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. So are you ready for some cold, hard facts? I'm going to warn you, some people may not like this and it may sting a little. Saying yes when you mean no is a form of approval-seeking behavior. You are desperately trying not to upset someone and you want to avoid an argument, so you disregard your own needs in order to satisfy them. And I'm going to read that again. You disregard your own needs in order to satisfy theirs. Approval-seeking is a major waste of time, as people never really respect those who are not true to themselves. Approval-seeking does not reduce stress. It actually increases it. When you need the approval of others, you are in a constant state of anxiety and worry as you fear that they may disapprove of you. Wow. Feel free to go back and listen to that again. Handling requests effectively is an important part of life. It helps you manage your relationships, your time, and your stress levels. On many occasions, you will want to accept requests, but there will be other occasions where you want to say no. It's easy to cave in and agree to all those requests, but if you repeatedly do this, you will pay the price with your time, your health, and your relationships. Saying no is the quickest way to reduce your stress, maximize your time, and maintain quality relationships with the people who are most important to you. So I'm curious, have you been in a situation where you really want to say no? Be it an event, a task, or a function, and you knew that your life is already crazy busy, and that by saying yes, this was going to stretch you over the edge. But you didn't want to say no because you felt obliged, or you didn't want to because it could upset somebody. If you have, then you will know that the social pressure of saying yes is not good for your mental well-being. The pressure of having to show up creates so much anxiety and so much stress because in the back of your mind, you know that you have so many other things that you should be doing instead, which makes doing this task or being at the event a nuisance, which will mean that you are more likely to be in a grumpy or irritated mood. Instead of enjoying the people you're with, you are most likely feeling annoyed, frustrated, and itchy to leave to get back to the things you should be doing. This is not nice for you, and it's definitely not nice for the people around you either. Does this sound familiar? If yes, then now is the time to stop the people-pleasing behavior and start looking after you. You need to put you on your to-do list. In the book, Ultra Learning, they say identify and improve the aspects of your skill that you are weakest at. Most of us are very weak at putting our needs first. So this is something that you're going to have to practice. And with practice, we improve. So how do we say no? It's really simple. No. N-O is a full sentence. Remember, our job is to keep our cup full. Like I said at the beginning, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And the way that you know that is you can feel it in your gut. If your eyes are starting to roll, if you're taking a breath, or if you're starting to think about what other projects you have on your to-do list and you're putting other people's needs first, then it's a hell no. If you're tired and you just want to plonk your butt on the couch and do nothing, and you're tired, then it's still a hell no. You actually don't have to justify yourself or your needs to anybody but you. Repeat after me. No. 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 Hell no. It's going to take some practice. Practice makes perfect. No. 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 So let's recap our three success strategies. Number one, less judgment and more love. Number two, time, not money. And number three, say no. So there we go. This brings us to the end of episode 11. So now you have the strategies to have an epic Christmas. And on our last week's episode, we told you how you could prevent putting on weight over the Christmas season. So you are now good to go. I want to wish you and your families a very Merry Christmas. And I can't wait to hear your feedback from episode number 11. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend or share it on the socials. And don't forget to tag me on hashtag MFM, Mind Fitness Mentor. And if nobody's told you today, remember, you are loved, you matter, and you are more than enough. Remember, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I can't wait to see you then.